Today's edition of the Daily Daily Caller podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is full spectrum CBD? Full spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than full spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, full spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At ancientlifeoil.com. That's ancientlifeoil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's ancientlifeoil.com.
Yes, perhaps not the most appropriate song, if only because of gender, but to hell with it. There's not too many songs out there celebrating someone's death, and today is the day to do just that. Welcome to the program. Thank you for listening, downloading, tuning in, telling a friend, spreading the word, all that good stuff. Thank you, thank you, thank you for that. And yes, I'm Derek Hunter. I'm your host, and this is the Daily Daily Caller podcast for the third day of January, 2019. That little weird feeling that you have that you can't quite go, what is this? Today just feels a little bit different. That's because the world is a better place. Because the United States last night bombed, blew to hell General Qassem Soleimani. Qassem, you hear it pronounced both ways. Who cares? He's the devil's bitch now, so they deserve each other. Yes, the head of the Quds forces, the director essentially of the CIA of Iran and the head of the special forces, the guy who directs their military, he is, well, he was an evil son of a bitch, and now he's several pieces in an airport, many of which will not be big enough to be picked up and put together. Grass is stained with this guy's essence, and the world is a better place for it. We'll get into all of that and everything else. Just, you gotta love this development because it, the left, the other, well, we'll get into all of it, shall we? It's going to be, as I said, it's a kind of a shorter show. Yesterday was about 10 minutes shorter. This one might be a little bit shorter just because my daughter is going in a rampage in the next room and she could burst in at any moment. And I need to go out there and make sure she doesn't destroy herself or the house. But it's the last short show just because it's the holiday week. And, you know, it's always good to end a holiday week with a bang. Soleimani, hot, isn't it? And you thought it was hot in the desert. Get used to it, pal. All righty. First, before we do any of that, let's talk about our wonderful sponsor, Ancient Life Oil. AncientLifeOil.com. CBD oil. You hear all the people talking about it. Everybody's using CBD oil for this or for that. And you think, well, that's just crazy. It can't be this good. It can't be this versatile. Well, I'm here to tell you it is. Put a few drops, about a half a dropper under my tongue every day. The eye strain, the stress that I feel at the end of the day, the stress I feel throughout the day, it's just that much better. But don't worry, you know, you hear, oh, CBD oil, is that, that's come from marijuana, that comes from cannabis. Is that going to get you high? Am I going to become a stoner? No, that's not how it works. There's no THC in this stuff. You're not going to get high off of it. It just works inside your body. Or they have a topical, which you can put on your skin if your knees are bugging you, your feet are bugging you, your hips, whatever it is, you rub it in, and you'll see immediate relief. It is astounding. Give it a try for yourself. Go to ancientlifeoil.com, enter promo code Derek at checkout, and you get 10% off your order. Boom, 10% off your order just by using my little old first name. One of these days, I want to get a sponsor that uses the promo code Holy Frank Tanana. I think that would be awesome. But my name is a close, cool second. Enter Derek at checkout, 10% off your order. Check it out. Do your research before you do it. Don't just take my word for it because we're cool. Do a search on CBD oil benefits. See what people are saying about CBD oil. See what people who aren't sponsored by them are saying about CBD oil. Talk to your friends and family. You might be surprised who's using it. And then when you decide to give it a shot, go to the best place to get the best all-organic CBD oil, the purest you can get, at ancientlifeoil.com. Don't forget promo code Derek at checkout, and you get 10% off your order. And you too will be a believer. Okay. Yes, 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 yes. General Suleiman is dead. The United States killed him outside the airport in Baghdad in a drone strike. And, you know, less than talking about the mechanics of what this guy did, by now you've likely heard what this piece of human garbage did and how he's got the blood of literally hundreds and thousands of people on his hands. He was, you know, the man in charge of running essentially terrorism for Iran for decades. Now he's in charge of being the devil's prodding stick. It's just a red hot poker. It's going to be someplace really uncomfortable right now. And for ever, you piece of garbage. I want to talk a little bit about the reaction to it, because this man literally has hundreds of Americans' blood on his hands, thousands of Iraqis' blood on his hands. He's been behind the Iranian incursion in and interference in everywhere. He personally is the biggest dispenser of state sponsorship of terrorism, or was. Got to talk about him in third person. So how was the death of this man, who is every bit the monster Osama bin Laden was, how has it been greeted? With a mixture of gasping and pearl clutching by our friends on the left. Makes you wonder which side they're on. Whose side are these people really on? And you really don't have to wonder, to be perfectly honest with you. This is how the Washington Post just headlined their story. Airstrike at Baghdad airport kills Iran's most revered military leader, Qassem Soleimani, Iraqi state television reports. He's a revered military leader. You've really got to wonder who these people are and who these people root for, which team they're on. You can't make this stuff up. Do you remember when the United States killed al-Baghdadi? When they referred to him as an austere military, here's the headline, the original headline in the Washington Post, when they killed Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, the head of ISIS. Headline, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi, austere religious scholar at helm of Islamic State, dies at 48. Dies at 48. Is it just natural causes? This holy man, this religious man who wanted nothing but peace. Well, he ended up in pieces. But this is, of course, how the left views our enemies. Not just when Donald Trump is president, although they do ratchet it up a little bit, just a little bit, when a Republican is president. But this is how, in general, they view our enemies. They are not wrong, is how they're viewed. They look at it and go, they have some good points. Perhaps they overreact a bit, what with the killing of people. But in general, they've got some good points. Remember when Barack Obama went around the world telling everybody, look, we're not perfect. We got our own problems. Look at what's going on in Ferguson. Yeah, a bunch of leftists made up a lie and then stuck with that lie, became pot committed to that lie, and then used that lie to attack the country and the police. And you cheered that on, Barack Obama. But that's how he spent his presidency, equivocating with despotic regimes around the country. We got our own problems in our past, so who are we to lecture you? We're the United States of America, you pile of garbage. And if you don't like it, the door is not locked. You can go out it. But Soleimani was responsible, was the leader, was probably the mastermind behind the storming of the U.S. Embassy. just the other day, and it was kind of funny now in retrospect, because all the left was going, well, you can't, we have no response. Donald Trump's Benghazi. This is weak. The president's response is weak. Yeah, sure, he sent in some troops to secure the grounds, but what are we going to do? We can't really do anything because Donald Trump is so weak and feckless, and he doesn't understand foreign policy, and he's just a spineless squish of a man, and it's just terrible. And then a couple days later, boom. The president orders the drone strike that kills the guy who was behind it. Why do you think he was in Baghdad? Because he wanted a vacation in Baghdad? And he was making his escape, probably, heading back home, probably to a bed covered in the cash that the Obama administration gave Iran, which he is in charge of dispensing in large quantities. And instead, he got blown to hell. Literally blown to hell. This should be a thing that is celebrated, but instead you get a situation like Senator Chris Murphy of Connecticut said, quote, Soleimani was an enemy of the United States. That's not a question. The question is this. As reports suggest, did America just assassinate, without any congressional authorization, the second most powerful person in Iran, knowingly setting off a potential massive regional war? Question mark. And you just look at that and you go, I'm sorry for your loss, Senator Murphy. I'm sorry for what you're going through. This is terrible, what's happening to you. There's a support group out there somewhere for you, I'm sure. This man is a monster. This man was a monster. And so much of our foreign policy has been dictated over the past 20, 30 years, if not longer, by people who fret over the possible response of bad people already actively trying to do us harm. How will they respond to us responding to them? They might respond with more violence. Okay, what are they going to respond with? What are they going to do if we don't do anything? Well, they're going to be emboldened. They're still going to continue trying to kill Americans. They've been killing Americans. They're going to keep doing that. So how about we hit back? And yesterday we hit back, and that's why it's so important. You let the rest of the world know that we're not going to sit here and take a bloody nose every time you decide to throw a temper tantrum and prop yourself up with your power base in your despotic regime. You take a swing at us, we're taking a swing back at you. We've got the biggest stick. We've got the biggest hands. We've got the biggest muscles. We've got the biggest military, the strongest military. If you want to go to war, Iran, let's do it. Otherwise, get back in your borders and behave yourself. It's nice. Now, do I think that Iran might respond? Of course they'll respond. This was their leader, realistically. This was the man who was in charge of spreading terror and spreading the Iranian mullah's message around the world. He was the tip of the literal spear. He ordered the deaths of thousands of human beings, probably hundreds of thousands if we just don't have a way of getting an accurate body count. We took him out. That doesn't mean they're not a threat. He had, you know, a staff. He had underlings. Somebody will fill his position. But that somebody who fills that position will now go, what do I want to do? I know what happened to Soleimani, and that could happen to me if I do something crazy. Maybe we take it down a notch. Or maybe they come at us further. Who knows? But we can't live in fear constantly. We can't be ruled by our fear and afraid to act, impotent to act, because of what people who already hate us, who are actively trying to kill American soldiers, who are actively killing human beings and trying to undermine the United States. We can't live in fear of what they might do if we hit them back because of the bad things they do when we haven't hit them back. They keep hitting us and hitting us and hitting us. At a bare minimum, maybe we try a new approach. And that new approach is the Chicago way, if you will, from not with Barack Obama. That was surrender and give them billions of dollars. The Chicago way from the Untouchables. You bring a knife, we bring a gun. You want to come at us? Okay, let's go. Our military is on high alert. Let's see what you got. Otherwise, get back in your damn border and behave yourselves. The president caught hell on New Year's Eve for tweeting out the following thing. And this is a tweet that actually aged well, because the left was mocking the president for this tweet. And it's kind of funny. These things take a little time to plan. So this was clearly in the pipeline already when the president tweeted this. Quote, the U.S. embassy in Iraq is and has been for hours safe. Many of our great war fighters, together with their most lethal military equipment in the world, was immediately rushed to the site. Thank you to the President and Prime Minister of Iraq for their rapid response upon request. Iran will be held responsible for the lives lost or damage incurred at any of our facilities. They will pay a very big price. This is not a warning. It is a threat. Happy New Year, end quote. That was the president of the United States just a couple of days ago. And today we got a message. We saw what he was talking about. And the left is beside themselves about how badly the president has mucked things up. Oh, no. What will the Iranian response be? I would assume it'd be more of the same. Terrorism, because they're a terrorist state. Ben Rhodes, one of Barack Obama's flying monkeys, who was very, very upset that Donald Trump won, tweeted out, quote, he was one of the architects of the Iran deal as well, by the way, tweeted out, quote, there are real world consequences to having Trump as president. They are becoming increasingly clear that he is the one, and he is the one who is going to have to navigate incredibly complicated and dangerous messes of his own creation. This is not reality TV. Poor, poor Ben Rhodes. Oh, no. Ezra Klein, Vox News. The question isn't whether Soleimani was a bad guy. The questions are, what are the likely consequences of his assassination? And do you trust the Trump administration to have planned for those consequences and manage what comes next? Yes. Let's not talk about what was done. Can't celebrate. Look, if you're talking about the death of an evil human being, an evil pile of human garbage, and you throw in the word but anywhere in there, well, you know, it's probably better off world that this person is dead, but you're doing it wrong. You're living your life wrong, and you really need to reassess why you hate your country so much. Why is your love of country dependent upon who sits behind the Resolute desk at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue? Because there's something fundamentally flawed about you if your love of country matters or changes or fluctuates based on who wields the levers of power. Right, Quinn, staring at me?
Got PJ Masks toys.
Yes, you've got a lot of PJ Masks toys. What do you think about the death of General Soleimani?
Honey, the PJ Masks got a Peppa Pig.
Yeah, he is a bit of a Peppa Pig. Certainly more so than a PJ Mask. But yes, hey, you know what? This is my life. You come into it, this is what you get. Ben Rhodes is, again, still beside himself, going on and on and on and on. This is rich coming from Ben Rhodes, again, one of the architects of the failed state that is Libya. He tweets, Iraq and Lebanon are just two of the places where we will have to be very concerned about the potential Iranian response, which could play out over time, not to mention Iran. Iran's nuclear program. Oh, Iran's nuclear program, the one that you allowed them to keep as long as they didn't advance it while you were in the White House? That nuclear program? He also said, Congress has to assert itself and determine exactly what our Iran policy is. Did we mean to do this? Do we have any plans for what comes next? What is the legal basis for all of this? You imagine being this blowhardy in your life? Don't ever go full Ben Rhodes. No good can come of it. Don't, unless you've suffered a closed head injury, in which case I'm sorry. But this is the modern left. They are scared to death of the world. And the idea that the United States would stand up for itself, its soldiers, and its citizens. I don't know how a single human being votes for any of these people. The Pentagon ultimately released a statement last night admitting, because the first reports were Soleimani. We're getting reports that Soleimani's dead, and we don't know who did it. It could have been Israel. It could have been Iraq. It could have been Saudi Arabia. It could have been the United States. Well, the Pentagon put that to bed. The Department of Defense released the following statement, quote, "At the direction of the president, the U.S. military has taken decisive defensive action to protect U.S. personnel abroad by killing Qasem Soleimani, the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps, Quds Forces, a U.S.-designated foreign terrorist organization. General Soleimani was actively developing plans to attack American diplomats and service members in Iraq and throughout the region. General Soleimani and his Quds Forces were responsible for the deaths of hundreds of American and coalition service members and the wounding of thousands more. He had orchestrated attacks on coalition bases in Iraq over the last several months, including the attack on December 27th, culminating in the death and wounding of additional American and Iraqi personnel. General Soleimani has approved the attacks, also approved the attacks on the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad that took place this week. This strike was aimed at deterring future Iranian attack plans. The United States will continue to take all necessary action to protect our people and our interests wherever they are around the world." End quote. Could you imagine the Obama administration ever releasing a statement like that? Could you imagine the Obama administration ever taking a stand like this? Could you? I couldn't. People will be saying, "Well, what about he did? Barack Obama did order the attack that killed bin Laden." Show me a world where it's politically viable not to order that raid. When you know where Osama bin Laden is, how do you not order that raid and expect it not to be the end of your presidency if it ever gets out? Just from a pragmatic standpoint, Barack Obama, I give him credit, he did order that raid, but there was really no other choice. The only person dumb enough to say don't go on this raid was Joe Biden, who was dumb enough to tell the world that he was the one who said, "Well, you know, Mr. President, I'm not sure you want to do this." Like, really? Really? That's where, that's your... You're the foreign policy expert, and you advised against it? Okay, good. There you go. So, yes, it is a good day for the world. It is a good day for freedom. It is a good day. You know what? This could lead to, I don't know, I want to go out on a limb here, but I think that I don't enjoy wild speculation, but I will engage in a little bit of guesswork. I think that it might be good for this might be a good time for the Iranian people who have been protesting to really sort of redouble their efforts. The man who was responsible, was in charge of oppressing them, is now in pieces on the tarmac in Baghdad. Maybe things will be different. Who knows? Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, showing where her sympathies lie, tweeted out, quote, "So what if Trump wants war? Knows this leads to war and needs the distraction. Real question is, will those with congressional authority step in and stop him? I know I will." Yes, Ilhan Omar does not like to see her heroes dethroned. And so, of course, she's going to come down on the side of America's enemies. That's where she lives. The question is, will the liberal press attack her for spreading conspiracy theories the way they're always accusing Republicans of doing? No, of course not. You know they won't. Joe Biden, you may have heard of him, Sniffy Uncle Joe. He released a statement. He probably didn't go to a camera because he likely doesn't know who Soleimani is, so he doesn't want to try and butcher his name. The campaign put out a statement, quote, "No American will mourn Soleimani's passing." He didn't pass. He didn't just die. He was killed, and he deserved to be killed. He deserved to be brought to justice for his crimes against American troops and thousands of innocents throughout the region. He supported terror and sowed chaos. None of that negates the fact that this is a largely escalatory move in an already dangerous region. The administration statement says that its goal is to deter future attacks by Iran, but this action will almost certainly will have the opposite effect. President Trump just tossed a stick of dynamite into a tinderbox, and he owes the American people an explanation of the strategy and plan to keep safe our troops and embassy personnel, our people, and our interests, both here at home and abroad, and our partners throughout the region and beyond. I'm not privy to the intelligence and much remains unknown, but Iran will surely respond. We could be on the brink of a major conflict across the Middle East. I hope the administration has thought through the second and third order consequences of the path they have chosen. But I fear this administration has not demonstrated at any turn the discipline or long-term vision necessary, and the stakes could not be higher. Democrats, apparently, their foreign policy plan is to never retaliate against people who kill Americans because they might kill Americans. No, you mean they might keep doing what they've been doing all along, Joe? Geez, what do you think? Do you think they might kill Americans, those people who have been killing Americans? By the way, Senator Chris Murphy, remember I read you his tweet a few minutes ago about Soleimani was an enemy of the United States. That's not in question, but blah, 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 blah. You know, we're setting off a potential problem. That was January 2nd, 2020, yesterday. On December 31st, 2019, that's just 3 days ago, ladies and gentlemen. If you're playing the home game, even though it's a different calendar year, it's only 3 days ago. Senator Murphy tweeted the following, quote, "The attack on our embassy in Baghdad is horrifying, but predictable. Trump has rendered America impotent in the Middle East. No one fears us. No one listens to us. America has been reduced to huddling in safe rooms. America has been reduced to huddling in safe rooms, hoping the bad guys will go away. What a disgrace." 3 days ago, the guy who's saying, oh, geez, what did he do? He shouldn't have done nothing, was saying, we can't believe this guy has done nothing. Can you believe this guy does nothing about an attack on our embassy? They have no shame. They don't seem to be aware of the fact the internet is forever. More importantly, they don't seem to think that, and probably rightly so, any of this hypocrisy will matter to their base, to their voters. It likely won't. They hate Donald Trump so much that they will simply look past any hypocrisy. You just, as long as you're attacking Donald Trump, I don't care what it is. I don't care about the validity of it. I don't care the rationale for it. I don't care how bad it makes anybody look, how hypocritical it makes anybody look. If Ilhan Omar wants to go out there and spread conspiracy theories that Donald Trump is trying to start a wag the dog situation to distract from his problems, which aren't problems, then go ahead. Go with it. We're with you. That's the Democratic Party line. Brian Fallon, the former campaign spokesmodel for the Hillary Clinton campaign, and now the executive director of Demand Justice, which is a left-wing organization, he has his own little statement out there. He tweeted, "Give me a presidential candidate who will unequivocally oppose going to war with Iran." They're very concerned about Iran. They're very, very upset about Iran. Marianne Williamson, Brian, if you're looking for such a candidate, although you can find any of them, really, Marianne Williamson just came out and said it, quote, "Prayers for peace. Killing of Soleimani by U.S. military was one of the most reckless, irresponsible actions ever directed by a U.S. president. Congress deserves condemnation for allowing it, and America needs to understand this. War with Iran would be totally disastrous." Do you guys remember? It's different. It's different times. But do you guys remember the first Gulf War back in 1990? Do you remember what we were told in the build-up to the first Iraq war, that look out, Saddam Hussein's military is for real. Saddam Hussein's military is the real deal, especially the Republican Guard. And as we entered, you know, we got that we're ready to get him out of Kuwait. And if we go into Iraq itself, that is going to be vicious fighting. It could be a very long war, and prepare for the worst. These people are very, very serious. They were built up. They were the media was the hype man for Saddam Hussein's military. And then what happened? We went to war and rolled over them. We rolled over them. Our military destroyed them. Now, Iraq's military at the time could fight Iran to a stalemate. Congratulations. But the United States, it was a paper tiger. I suspect the same thing is true when it comes to Iran. Not that I'm advocating war, but the idea that, oh my goodness, this would be a disaster for the United States. The only thing that would be a disaster for the United States in a war with Iran would be if we did anything more than just blow them all to hell, decimating their military and their government, and then leaving. If we stuck around and tried to repeat what we tried to do in Afghanistan and Iraq, then yes, it would be a disaster. But realistically, the Iranian military, as strong and as big and as powerful as it is in the region, is nothing compared to ours. The idea that, oh my goodness, we couldn't possibly, this would be a long, protracted, drawn-out thing, it's simply not true. It's simply not true. Again, I'm not advocating for it, but let's be honest about it, because this is the reality of it. We have the strongest military in the world. Elizabeth Warren weighs in. Again, if your statement has the word but in it when it involves the death of a terrorist, you're doing it wrong. But the key to winning the Democratic Party's nomination for president in 2020 is doing it wrong. Quote, Soleimani was a murderer responsible for the deaths of thousands, including hundreds of Americans. But this reckless move escalates the situation with Iran and increases the likelihood of more deaths in new Middle East conflict. Our priority must be to avoid another costly war. About peace through strength, Elizabeth, Iran has been behind the vast majority of the attacks in Iraq for the better part of the last two decades. Once Saddam was gone, they were the puppet masters. How has coddling them, how has cowering from them worked out, not only for the military, the U.S. military, but for the civilian population of Iraq? How has that worked out for the people in Syria? Yes, Iran is fighting ISIS, or was fighting ISIS when ISIS still had a caliphate. But they were fighting them because they didn't want the competition. They wanted the land. They were trying. What's the point of getting rid of one oppressor to replace it with another? The consequences of doing nothing, of being passive, of apologizing or tolerating or taking a punch in the face and then saying, I'm sorry, did I hurt your hand, have been what? More dead. Longer drawn out conflicts, more suffering. But this is the Democratic policy. No, war is never the answer. I'd love to get them in a big stake, high stakes game of trivia and have the final question be, what does the second W in WW2 stand for? Because their whole life has been spent going, war is not the answer, war is not the answer. What if the question is, how did the Allies rid the world of fascism and free hundreds of millions of people in the world back in the 1940s? Well, the answer would be war. It wasn't diplomacy. Sometimes war is necessary. Again, I'm not calling for war here, but this unequivocal peacenik crap is what led us to this, these half measures. What I find refreshing is that President Trump didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't go and strike an oil field. He didn't go and hit a military base after giving an hour's notice saying, you better get your personnel out of there because this building where you guys in your mess hall, we're going to blow up that building right there in an hour. So get all the silverware and everything out of it. No, he didn't. He took decisive action with real-world consequences and ridded the planet of evil. Good on him. And to hell with anybody over there on the left whining about, oh my goodness, what are the consequences going to be? These people were killing people, killing Americans, killing Iraqis, killing anybody, killing their own people. Unfettered, while we sat by and fiddled, while we delivered pallets full of cash to them. How is that working out? How did that go for anybody? Every foreign policy advisor in the Obama administration was unavailable for comment because they'll never be asked that question. They'll just have, you know, cable news tomorrow will be dour faces in little boxes lamenting, oh my goodness, this could be an escalation. This could be. What comes next? What is it? How did this decision get reached? Congress needs to be briefed immediately. Nancy Pelosi was demanding as much that Congress needs to be briefed. She said, according to Chad Pergram of Fox News, the full Congress must be immediately briefed on this serious situation and on the next steps under consideration by the administration, including the significant escalation of the deployment of additional troops to the region. Here, Nan. Donald Trump will agree to brief Congress as soon as Congress agrees to give them a fair briefing, a fair hearing. It doesn't seem right that they should walk in there without knowing what kind of briefing they're going to be allowed to give, right? I mean, if that's the way it works, if you can in Washington, D.C., just say you're going to do something and then withhold it until you're convinced that you can get whatever you want from the people you're withholding it from, then why shouldn't the president do the same thing? You gotta love Nancy. She's so blissfully unaware of herself. We'll have more on this as it develops. As I always say, we'll have more on this. We'll have more on this as the morons weigh in and continue to weigh in. And they will continue to weigh in over the weekend because the Trump administration did a good thing. And the media and the left and the Democrats and all the rest of that cabal cannot allow a good thing by Orange Man Bad to stand. They're going to continue to beclown themselves in ways that we can't possibly imagine. Gone will be just a few days ago, as Senator Chris Murphy said, well, you had no response. The weak response from the Trump administration over the storming of the embassy in Baghdad. That is a serious, serious breach of American sovereignty. What were we supposed to do? Why, we will announce sanctions against people you've never heard of who are never going to leave Iran anyway. Nope. Well, now there's a guy who's never going to leave Iraq, and that guy deserves to be dead. In other news, just really briefly, I just want to take a moment to pour one out, just a little bit of one, for Julian Castro. Julian lost in the shuffle is that another one bites the dust. Democrat goes down in flames. You know, most people go, who? And the people who pay attention to politics go, he was still running? But yes, Julian Castro announced that he will be ending. They always say he'll be suspending his campaign. The reason they don't end their campaign, the reason that politicians suspend their presidential campaigns, is it still allows them to fundraise, to raise money, to pay off campaign debts, which means that Julian Castro has racked up more money and spent more money on his presidential campaign than he was able to raise, because presidential campaigns never live within the money that they raise. They never live within their budgets. There is no real scramble for his voters, because he was not a factor. What's surprising is not that Julian Castro dropped out. It's that Cory Booker is still in there. Cory Booker is going for the, and mark my words, I'm going to make another prediction. Cory Booker is going for the I'm the diversity candidate vote. It was it was really sort of a last man standing kind of thing. Who will it be? Who will be the off-white? Because the Democrats desperately want to celebrate their diversity. Remember, they told us, we have the most diverse field ever in the whole wide world. Oh, my goodness, we're so diverse. Celebrate us because we're diverse. Yay, three cheers for diversity. And then all the minorities, except for Cory Booker, have dropped out. Because nobody was supporting them. Nobody was giving them money. They were done. They just, the Democratic Party, the racist Democrats, were not interested in a minority candidate. Cory Booker will be out there and he'll be saying, I'm the minority. I need to be on the debate stage because I will bring much needed diversity over there. And he's as vanilla as the day is long. He's no different than any other candidate. The diversity crowd will try to hang their hat on Pete Buttigieg because he's gay. Maybe some of them will try to say, well, Elizabeth Warren, a woman, a woman, a woman. But in reality, it's just a whole bunch of boring-ass white people who are going to pick the Democratic nominee from a pool of boring-ass white people. That's the world we live in. It looks like Andrew Yang might not even make the next debate stage. So Democrats won't even be able to pretend that they consider Asian to be minority anymore. They can go back to the Harvard rules where Asian doesn't count as minority. But yes, Julian Castro, the guy who tried to scramble in 2016 to learn Spanish well enough to appease Hillary Clinton and couldn't and didn't. So he wasn't her choice for VP. She went with a guy who could speak Spanish and Tim Kaine, who brought nothing to the table. God, what a bad haircut and a bad attitude and really uninspiring. But yeah, that's the Democratic Party. It's just a bunch of white people, bunch of rich white people. That's the way of the world. It's kind of funny because Pete Buttigieg was whining that he's the only one up there that's not a millionaire. Well, his book is selling. His book sold a lot last year. We don't know his taxes yet, but I suspect that Mayor Pete will be a millionaire by the end of all of this. Or should I say former Mayor Pete? His last day as mayor was New Year's Eve. He's no longer mayor of South Bend, Indiana, so he doesn't have to worry about allegations that he's ignoring his job to run for president because he doesn't have a job anymore. So the last year he was ignoring the job to run for president, and then he finally left the job. Good on him, I guess. I don't know. I don't even care. It's Friday. That's what I care about. My daughter is destroying the next room over. That I care about. And you. I care about you. I'm going to end it here just because I will just go back to swearing about the people upset and lamenting the death of Soleimani. Oh, no, it could lead to World War III. Oh, no, what if we go to war with Iran? They've been at war with us for a very long time. Maybe it's about time we added to the body count on our side. Anyway, that is it for today. We'll be back to normal come Monday when I imagine this stupidity will have marinated deeper into our souls. And we'll have, if Chuck Todd is working this weekend, he'll probably say something stupid. Jake Tapper will probably say something stupid. Brian Stelter will say something stupid because that's who he is. That's who all these people are. And we'll be here throughout 2020 to keep them honest. And as long as you come along with us, I appreciate you listening. Have a great weekend. Hopefully you've been off all this week and returning to Monday work on Monday won't be all that hard. Or if you weren't off all week, hopefully you have banked a whole bunch of vacation days and you can do something great this year. You can email me, Derek@dailycaller.com, the website, patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast, if you want to chip in a couple of bucks to help the cause. I'm ready for the weekend. And it was a short, weird week. But damn, I'm ready for a good Saturday. Have a good Saturday yourself and be back here on Monday.